We're going to read the last four verses of Matthew 9. If you could stand with me, we're going to read these four verses and you can be seated. Matthew 9, verse 35 down to 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. You may be seated. Father in heaven, we ask that you would bless this time as we open up your word and preach the word of God. I just pray that this time would be used of you, Lord, that the word of God would not return void and that it would make a difference in our lives. Help us, Father, to be more like Christ. Help us, Lord, to see the need for laborers. Help us, Lord, to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes when you have a missionary come or you have a missions conference, you hear these terms like the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission anyways? What is a commission? Well, a commission is the state of being authorized to perform an act or a service. A commission is the state of being authorized to perform an act or service. You have to have the right authority to do certain things. I think about a young man named Malachi Love Robinson back in February in Florida. He was arrested for pretending to be a medical doctor. He was giving medical advice in his medical facility, what he thought, you know, he was only 18 years old. Then it kind of gives it away that he probably was not a doctor. And he said he had a PhD rather than an MD. But he was giving medical advice, and he was calling himself a doctor, and an undercover agent discovered what he was doing, and he got arrested, thrown in jail. He got out on $21,000 bond for grand theft, or not grand theft, for fraud and a number of other issues. Can you imagine an 18-year-old pretending to be a doctor? He was trying to do the work of a doctor without having the right authority, and he got in trouble for it. You see, certain things require the right authority, and one of those things is the Great Commission. Oh, you need to have the authority to go out and tell people about Christ. You need to have the authority of God. Let's look at Matthew 28. Let's look at the Great Commission. Keep your place in Matthew 9. We're going to be turning back there. But let's look at what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28. We saw it this morning. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. That word power is the word authority. Jesus has the authority to command the waters to stand still. When the waters are raging, the ocean is raging, and the disciples are worried about dying, and they ask Jesus to do something about it. And he commands the water to stand still, and immediately he says, peace be still, and the ocean immediately stands still. That's the power of God. He has the authority to command the water to stand still. I think about when Jesus was speaking about to Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was able to be raised from the dead by the power of God, by the authority of the words of Christ. Jesus has the authority to command the ocean to stand still. He has the authority to raise the dead. And he has the authority to command his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The funny thing about it is, ironic thing about it is, he can tell the ocean to stand still and immediately the ocean will stand still. And he can tell Lazarus to come forth and immediately Lazarus will raise up from the dead. But when Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, it seems like everyone, all the Christians seem to look around like, who is he talking to? He's talking to us. We need to obey the authority. We need to obey the command. The Great Commission is great because of the source of the Great Commission. The source is Jesus Christ. The Great Commission is great because it comes from Jesus Christ. I think about when I was in the military, when I was the E1, a seaman recruit in the Navy, in boot camp, someone who was just one rank higher than me could tell me what to do. I'd have to obey their authority. And Jesus Christ being God is the highest authority there is. Let's look at Matthew 28 again in light of that. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Because of that, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Thank God he's with us. The Great Commission is great because of the source of the Great Commission, Jesus Christ. But the Great Commission is great because of the scope of the Great Commission. Do you realize how many people there are? Last time I read, it was close to 7.5 billion people. That's a lot of people, folks. How are we going to effectively reach the world with the gospel? How are we going to try to reach 7.5 billion people, let alone the people here in just in Albuquerque? That's a lot of people to reach with the gospel. How are we going to do that? The Great Commission is great because the source of the Great Commission, but the Great Commission is great because of the scope of the Great Commission. That's a lot of people to reach with the gospel. That's, we're supposed to get the gospel to every continent, to every country, to every town, to every village, to every home, to every individual. That's a great commission. That is truly a great commission. We can only do it by the power of God. We can only do it through the Holy Spirit. We need God's help. We need God's power. And we need to do it God's way. How are we going to reach the world with the gospel? Is it impossible to do that? It's not impossible. We can obey what Christ commanded us to do if we simply do what Jesus did in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at what Jesus did. Tonight, I want to show you four Christ-like steps to reaching the world with the gospel. Let's look at back at Matthew 9:35. We were talking about the Great Commission, about the scope of the Great Commission, how that we need to reach a lot of people, billions of people need to hear the gospel. We're talking about the source of the Great Commission, Jesus Christ, and wow, it is a Great Commission. And how are we going to reach the world with the gospel? How are we going to fulfill Mark 16:15 when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? How are we going to fulfill what it says in Acts 1:8 where it says, and going to the uttermost part of the earth? How are we going to do that? How are we going to fulfill what Christ commanded us to do? We can do what Christ commanded if we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit and by doing simply what Jesus did. Let's look at what Jesus did in Matthew 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. First of all, I see that we need to be engaged in preaching. We need to be engaged in preaching the gospel. Thank the Lord for a pastor that preaches the gospel you have at this church. We need to be engaged in preaching, but that's not only the pastor's job. Preaching the gospel is every Christian's job. We need to be engaged in preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know, there's some things we need to overcome if we're going to be engaged in preaching. I think about discrimination. Discrimination is a problem to the gospel. You see, there are some people that they only want certain kind of people coming to their church. We're not going to reach the world with the gospel unless we're willing to reach all people. You know, discrimination is not something that just came up in the 60s. Discrimination has been around since the beginning of time, as far as I know, since the beginning of sin. There was discrimination in Jesus' time. The Jews and the Samaritans really didn't get along too well. And when the Jews would be in Jerusalem and they needed to go back up, the disciples needed to go back up to Galilee, they would go right around Samaria. They didn't want to be anything to do with those Samaritans. I think about the Navajo people. Some people don't care for Indian people. Some people don't care for Hispanic people or black people or other minorities. Just assume go somewhere else. But we need to love all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves all people. You know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said, we must needs go through Samaria. Jesus went through Samaria, and when he was there, he witnessed to that woman, that Samaritan woman at the well, and she got saved. She believed on the Lord. And she even was a testimony herself. Hey, if you're a young lady here and you got saved, you can be a testimony as well. You can share your testimony. You know, she shared her testimony. She said, come see a man that told me all things whatsoever I did. Is this not the Christ? And on her testimony, some people received the Lord. We need to be able to share our testimony. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a Bible college student to share your faith. You can share your faith as a new believer. But we need to be engaged in preaching the word. You need to do what Jesus did. Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we need to do. But not only do we need to overcome discrimination, but we need to overcome procrastination. Procrastination. You see, we need to realize the harvest is ripe. We sang that song, Bringing in the Sheaves. You know, there's an urgency to getting the gospel out. Well, you know, like the song that was sung earlier about the Lord is coming back soon. We need to get the time to work is now. Jesus said, I must work the works of him while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. There's a night that Jesus is coming again. We don't know when he's coming back. We need to get busy now. There's an urgency to get the gospel message out because we don't know when the Lord's going to return. We don't know when you're going to get called to heaven. There's an urgency. Jesus was engaged in preaching the word. Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But not only do we need to be engaged in preaching, but we also need to get some equipping from our pastor. We need to get some equipping from our pastor. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11. Ephesians 4, 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You might say, well, Brother John, I want to preach the word. I want to preach the gospel, but I need some equipping. Where do you get equipping from? Praise God that God gave you a tremendous gift when he gave you a pastor. And the Bible says, and he gave some, and he mentions a pastor and a teacher. Praise God that Brother Reyes says he's your teacher, he's your pastor. He's here to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Let's look at verse 12 again. Verse 12, Ephesians 4:12. Why did God give you a preacher? Why did God give you a pastor? How am I going to get equipped? I missed my spot, but Ephesians 4:12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. God gave you a preacher to perfect you, to equip you. You see, the military, when they go out to do warfare, they send their troops out fully equipped and fully trained. Can you imagine the sending military in with a BB gun? With no training? They wouldn't be able to be effective. But we get training, we get equipped, because we have a battle to fight. The battle is the Lord's battle, but we are the ones we're the soldiers. We're the ones who God wants to use. God wants to use you. God wants to use you to preach the word, to get the gospel to those that are lost. God wants to use you. But you might need to get some equipping. Praise God, you're in church because that's where the equipping is. You know, when people miss church, they miss the time of equipping. God's trying to train you as a soldier of the Lord, and you get training here in church. But not only do you get equipped from your pastor, praise the Lord for an equipping pastor, amen, but you get equipped from the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. You know, we need the Bible, amen. We need to get trained. We need instruction from the Word of God. And God gives us everything we need. God gives us the equipping we need from the Word of God, from the pastor, so we can get the work done. Because we need to go out fully trained and fully equipped. Think about Bible college, how it helped me be equipped. We need that time of equipping, amen. But you can get that when you come to church. You can get equipped from your pastor. You see, if we're going to reach the world with the gospel, it can be done. But we simply need to do what Jesus did. He was engaged in preaching. And we need to get some equipping from our pastor. But I see thirdly, in verse 36, Matthew 9, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see, we've got to have an empathetic perception. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. We need to have compassion. How are we going to reach the world with the gospel if we simply don't care? We have to care. We have to have compassion. When I think about people having compassion, I think about the people of Chile. In 2010, there was a mining accident in Chile. These 33 men were trapped underground, 2,300 feet underground. Can you imagine, folks? Put yourself in their shoes. Can you imagine the hopelessness there is being in a mine underground, 3 miles from the entrance of the mine, 2,300 feet underground? Can you imagine the thoughts that might come through your mind? I might never see my spouse again. I may never hug my children again. But the people of Chile said, we're going to do something about it. You see, all it would have taken for these men to perish in that mine were the people to do nothing. All it takes for someone to die and go to hell is for you to say nothing. Don't do nothing. They're already on their way. You see, we've got to have compassion for those that are lost. We've got to have compassion for people. We've got to have a love for people. See, the people of Chile demanded that something be done. You know, they rallied together. It was amazing how the country of Chile rallied together. Every aspect of the Chilean government was working together. They even brought in people from every continent. They said it was a global effort trying to save these 33 men. They even brought in people from the NASA Space Agency to come in and give them expertise. It was amazing how it was a global effort trying to reach these 33 men. And that's what missions is. It's a global effort. It's your church reaching your community in Albuquerque, but also reaching people around the world by giving to missions. You see, if we're going to do what God requires, it's got to be a global effort. How are we going to reach the world with the gospel? Well, it's got to be you being obedient and you giving and other people giving in this church and reaching your community and other churches doing the same thing. It's a global effort. Missions is a global effort. The people of Chile had compassion. The people of Chile came together and worked as a team. That's what we need to do, amen. But not only that, these men who thought they would never see their wife again, probably thought they'd never see their children again, who were in a hopeless situation, were able to have a second chance at life. I think about how God saved me. He gave me a second chance at life. A new life in Christ, to live for him. These men were able to be rescued. You know, after being underground for 17 days, they were drilling and drilling, and they brought up the drill bit, In Spanish, the best I can say it, it says, the note said, estamos bien en el refugio, los 33. We are all well in the shelter, the 33 of us. These men were still alive. It was amazing how after day of drilling and working hard and coming together, that after 69 days of being underground, these men were rescued. All of these 33 men were rescued. One of the greatest search and rescue operations of all time. But do you realize that we're in a search and rescue operation right now, folks? Missions is a search and rescue operation. You see, Jesus Christ said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a lot of lost people. There's a lot of people that need to hear the gospel, and we need to seek out them and show them how they can be saved. We need to give the gospel to them, folks. It is a great search and rescue operation. You know, the article I read said that over 1 billion viewers were watching this operation as these men were being pulled to the surface. I remember watching it at work. When I was at Boeing, I was out in the lobby watching it on the news, and these men were coming up out of the mine with these goggles on, because can you imagine the darkness, how it would affect your vision? These men who hadn't seen light in a long time, when they came out, they had to have these goggles on to protect their eyes from the light. Amazing how these men were rescued. Over 1 billion viewers watching this live. When I think about that, I think about how there's a great cloud of witnesses in heaven. The Bible talks about it in Hebrews 12, and the great cloud is watching the race. I wonder what the audience thinks about the activity that's going on. You know, sometimes when you're watching a sporting event, like these great cloud of witnesses are watching us, sometimes people make comments about the activities that are going on. Sometimes I watch football, and I'm watching with men that are really into the game, and they start jumping out of their chairs and start yelling at the TV, "What are they doing? They're making the wrong play!" They're talking to the television like it's going to do something. Sometimes the audience makes comments about the game. I wonder what the heavenly audience makes comments about our game, about our activities, about our mission. They don't care like they used to. They're not praying. They're not giving. They're not going with the gospel. They dropped the ball. I don't think the heaven is only critical, because the Bible tells us there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. But see, we've got to have compassion. Jesus was engaged in preaching. We need to be engaged in preaching the word of God. We need to get some equipping from our pastor, and you can get that here in the house of God. You can get equipped from the scriptures when you're at home, amen? And we need to have an empathetic perception. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Without compassion, we won't reach people, because we simply won't care. We've got to have compassion. And I see, lastly, there's an earnest petition. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Will you pray for laborers? Will you pray? Jesus said, will you pray? Participate in sending laborers. When you give, you participate in sending laborers. And thirdly, we can plan for the future. How do you plan for the future? These little ones here are the future church planters, the future pastors, pastors' wives. We plan for the future by preparing them. We plan for the future by being the right example for them ourselves. You know, if you're a parent, those children belong to the Lord. Lo, children are inherited to the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Those children belong to the Lord, and so we need to raise them for the Lord, because those are the future Christians. And we need to plant. We need more laborers, amen. The need on the reservation is for more laborers. And where are the laborers going to come from? Right here. We are the laborers. So let's pray for them. Let's give to missions, and let's train up the next generation of laborers, amen. Let's pray. Everyone stand, every head bowed, all eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. And Lord, I just pray you would speak to our hearts, Father. Help us to be obedient to what we've heard. Help us to be obedient to share our faith and to fulfill the Great Commission. We ask for your blessing and your help in Jesus' name. Amen.